Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The U.S. has surpassed 20 million confirmed cases of the coronavirus. NPR's Dave Mistich reports the grim milestone comes as the number of infections continues to surge across the nation, with hospitalizations at record highs.
Less than a full day after ringing in 2021, the United States has surpassed 20 million coronavirus cases. It's a fresh reminder that new cases continue to rise across the nation, even as rollouts of multiple vaccines provide some hope that the pandemic will begin to fade more quickly. The United States experienced a spike in cases throughout the winter holiday season. It came despite repeated warnings from public health officials who've said not to travel or gather outside one's home. Some states are seeing hospitals reach their highest levels of use since the pandemic began, further exhausting already strained healthcare workers. Dave Mistich, NPR News.
Congress will convene next week to formally count the votes cast by the Electoral College in the November election. It's the final step in affirming Democrat Joe Biden as the president-elect. NPR's Kelsey Snow reports Republican Senator Josh Hawley says he plans to raise an objection to electoral votes in at least one state, Pennsylvania.
Hawley is saying he's speaking up for people who feel disenfranchised, and he's basing this off of baseless claims of voter fraud that have been disputed by numerous agencies, including Attorney General William Barr. He and at least one House Republican are coming together on this, and other Republicans plan to object and are filing long-shot lawsuits to try to interfere. But most Republicans say these efforts undermine faith in the election and in democracy.
That's NPR's Kelsey Snell reporting. Wall Street has finished out the year with record gains. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports the economy is slowly rebounding amid the coronavirus pandemic, but some analysts warn that it could take years to make a full recovery.
When the lockdowns began, stock prices plunged. On one day in March, the Dow fell nearly 3,000 points, forcing the suspension of trading. But soon it began to creep back up again, and by August was hitting records. This came after the Fed and Congress put together a package of lending programs and supplemental unemployment benefits that went a long way toward restoring confidence in the market. Tech stocks like Amazon and Netflix also benefited from the lockdowns, and a new generation of online traders came on the scene, boosting the price of superstar stocks like Tesla. Shares of the electric car maker rose 700%, making its founder, Elon Musk, the world's second richest man. Jim Zaroli, NPR News.
Wall Street is closed today for the New Year holiday. This is NPR News in Washington. The finance minister of Ontario, Canada, has resigned. Rod Phillips has stepped down after returning from a two-week tropical vacation, despite government guidelines urging people to avoid non-essential travel. In a video posted on social media, Phillips was shown drinking eggnog beside a fireplace, when in fact he was in St. Bart's. In a statement, he apologized, saying that traveling over the holidays was the wrong decision. A title for county-level officials in New Jersey that critics have called racist and outdated has been dropped. As Joe Hernandez from member station WBGO reports, a new state law banning the term freeholder takes effect today.
The word freeholder dates back to the era before the Revolutionary War, when only white male landowners who were free of debt could hold public office. Critics of the title, including many Garden State elected officials, call it an example of structural racism. Under a state law taking effect this year, county-level officials will now be called county commissioners, like in many other states. New Jersey was the last state in the country to use the term freeholder. For NPR News, I'm Joe Hernandez.
India is one step closer to approving its first vaccine for COVID-19. A government-appointed panel of experts has authorized a vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University for emergency use. It will now send its recommendations to the country's drugs regulator. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News, in Washington.